I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. Today is the feast of St. Michael and all angels, September 29th. According to church protocol, when the saint's day falls on a Sunday, we are supposed to keep the Sunday readings and transfer the saint's day to the next weekday. So today we have heard the readings appointed for this Sunday with its great gospel about the rich man and Lazarus. However, in traditional English life, this feast day marked the beginning. It was the beginning of school, of the Michaelmas term, as it was called. It marked the opening of the courts. And since today we are celebrating our ministry's fair in the parish hall and the official beginning of my time with you as your interim rector, I decided that we would sing great angel hymns. And I'm going to say something about angels. I actually never thought much about angels until Christopher Moore enlightened me. At the beginning of chapter 3 of his novel entitled Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal, Moore writes this: "The angel will tell me nothing of what happened to my friends, of the 12, of Maggie. All he'll say is that they are dead and that I have to write my own version of the story. Oh, he'll tell me useless angel stories of how Gabriel disappeared once for 60 years. They found him in the body of a man named Miles Davis. Or how Raphael snuck out of heaven to visit Satan and returned with something called a cell phone. Evidently, everyone has them in hell now. He watches television, and when they show an earthquake or a tornado, he'll say, 'I destroyed his city with one of those once. Mine was better.' I am awash in useless angel prattle, but about my own time, I know nothing but what I saw. And when the television makes mention of Joshua, using his Greek name, Raziel changes the channel before I can learn anything. He never sleeps. He just watches me, watches the television, and eats. He never leaves the room. Raziel and Biff have come to Manhattan and are holed up in a hotel so that Biff can write a gospel to correct the mistakes in the other four. In real life, Biff was Levi, the childhood pal of Jesus and his companion all over the place. So he is charged to write the true story. While Biff slaves over this new gospel, Raziel hovers like jailer, chaperone, probation officer. He gradually becomes addicted to soap operas, World Wrestling Federation, and Chinese food. I still don't know what to think about angels, and maybe nobody cares. In the Bible, they are messengers, emissaries from God to open the stairway to Jacob when he has his dream of the steps up to heaven, to promise birth to Sarah and Mary, to clean out the neighborhood of heaven and toss the dragon down as Michael does in the book of Revelation. But I don't know what to think about them. I'd probably locate them somewhere near the purveyors of conspiracy theories because I can't see them, I can't hear them, and I can't photograph them. And yet people keep talking about them. St. Augustine of Hippo was sure that the holy angels formed the most blessed part of the city of God. He wrote, "Actually, the fact that the angels are the work of God is not omitted in the count of creation, yet it is not expressly mentioned." But St. Augustine was sure about everything, so he doesn't help much. If you found a person today who told you that the world was guided by invisible creatures, unbound by time and space, who dance between earth and heaven, who bring messages and wage war in heaven, you might gradually move toward the psych ward. These people are paranoid. They see conspiracies where you and I see sunlight, breezes, and white caps on the Gulf. I thought that these plots and conspiracies only bubbled up in the minds of mentally ill people until I read a letter from Pat Robertson to his evangelical supporters. This letter urged his supporters to work to defeat an equal rights amendment to the Iowa Constitution. This is what he said. The feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist, anti-family political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians. Wow. Now I really feel stupid. For too long, I had assumed that feminism had something to do with human dignity, job discrimination, sexual harassment, and so forth. At least now I know who to blame for the divorced, murderous, lesbian, socialist witches I meet every day in Temple Terrace. St. Augustine actually knew who to blame for the ripples in his soul and the sin in his members, himself. Pat Robertson invites satire. But the rational, liberal me that wants the world to get better and work out comes to this day, St. Michael and all angels, with less than a full hand. Notwithstanding my normal aversion to explaining things by conspiracy theories, let me ask you to consider that there might be a conspiracy of goodness playing out around us, even as we speak and pray and worship. I suspect that the angels are the agents of this conspiracy of goodness in the universe. And once in a while, when there's a break in the veil, a dream at Bethel, a soft afternoon in Nazareth, a fight in heaven, we see them and hear them and feel them as clearly as Robertson sees the witches. There once was a young man who began calling a Jewish couple to spew vile epithets and racist obscenities over the phone. At first, they responded the way we all would, frightened, angry, annoyed. Then one day, during a brief lull in a particularly hate-filled harangue, the wife said to the faceless voice on the other end of the telephone, "Do you have enough to eat?" The young man was flustered and didn't know what to say, tried to continue his diatribe, but the wife persisted. Until finally they found out where the young man lived and went to his home, a bare room in a rooming house, sticks of furniture, Nazi posters on the walls, scraps of food around the room, a frightened and hungry young man peering out his window on a frightening and conspiring world. After much urging, the young man came to their house for dinner. Today he is Jewish, and they have adopted him as their son. Angels? As surely as Michael tossed a dragon out of heaven, this husband and wife conspired to cast hatred and despair out of that bare room and brought light to one who had been suffering in the dark. Today we celebrate the Ministries Fair of St. Catherine's Church. In the parish hall, if you haven't already seen it, you will see displays, exhibits, dazzling things, evidence of all the goodness and grace of God in this place. You should know that there now is evidence that you are co-conspirators. Unless you think this conspiracy is unseen and unheard, remember what happened to Elisha. Once upon a time, the king of Syria fought against Israel. Every time he planned a move, however, a mole was leaking the news. One day the king discovered that the leak was Elisha, the prophet of Israel. So the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city of Elisha. When Elisha's servant woke in the morning and went outside, he saw the surrounding army. "What shall we do?" he cried to Elisha. And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs." Then he prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And God answered his prayer, and Elisha's servant looked up and saw the hillside covered with horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. And the conspiracy of goodness goes on and on and on. O Lord, open our eyes and let us see. Open our ears and let us hear. Give us the sweet dreams of Jacob from the hotel room in Manhattan to this church in Temple Terrace. Send your messengers, O Lord, and let the conspiracy spread. Amen.